the issue all alone in dark Gethsemane. Low as he prays on that bare brow, great drops of blood I see. With bowing agonizes now in dark Gethsemane. Oh, how he suffered for his own in dark Gethsemane, facing the issue all alone in dark Gethsemane. Crushed beneath the weight of sin until he fain would be set free, knowing full well the Father's will in dark Gethsemane, facing the issue in dark Gethsemane, facing the issue all alone in dark Gethsemane.
Let's go to Luke for just a verse tonight, today. I'd like to continue what I begun last week. In Luke 1:17, you know, and I'm just looking here, and what I'd like to speak on today again is God's people coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. And, of course, we find that in Luke 1:17. Direct prophecy of John the Baptist given to Zacharias, his father. And, of course, notice here, and this is, again, prophecy given to by Zacharias to John. This is direct prophecy given concerning John the Baptist. And he shall go before him. That is, John the Baptist is going to before the Lord Jesus. And John the Baptist is going in the spirit and power of Elijah. And his ministry is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and a third part, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that's what is interesting to hear. And I think here that, you know, John the Baptist, how is this going to be fulfilled, we might say? Well, a unique thing about John the Baptist is down in Luke 1:41 is this, that it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, of course, Elizabeth now is pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary, the Virgin Mary, come to him, and of course, now she's in her womb is the Lord Jesus, in the baby Jesus. But notice, and so Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. The babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. What we see here is John the Baptist is the one that come on the scene filled with the Holy Spirit, the spirit and power of Elijah in his mother's womb. And he comes in, and John the Baptist come in that spirit and the power of Elijah. And I believe, too, that he's bringing forth a people prepared for the Lord. A people prepared for the Lord. And that's what we want to see. I want to see this today. And so let's go back to, we left off in 1 Kings 19. And we remember last week, Elijah's typical of us, I think, the redeemed. It's as to our new birth. We come to in 1 Kings 18, and Elijah repaired the altar that had broken down, and And God accepted that sacrifice that was on the altar, and that speaks of our salvation. And then we come off of that, and we're on the mountaintop. And then we come down, and we find that there's a journey. Then we go through these journeys, and I think each one of us probably have it to some measure. And you know, we come down off that mountaintop, we think everything's going to be rosy from here on out. We're just, and I felt that way at one time. When I was a newborn, I thought, there's such a change. And you know, from here on out, it's just going to be apples and cherries and apples, you know, pies. It's going to be just easy. And all of a sudden, it ain't. There's adversaries. There's things that come our way. And we wonder, what in the world can we do about it? And we think, well, I got to go back to Mount Horeb. Go back to the law. And Christians do. I think we all maybe make that journey. Trying to fill out it. I mean, God lets us know. He provides the cake, bacon, and the fire. That, maybe it's a shallow knowledge of Jesus as Savior, but saints, that's enough. That'll sustain us. And then we go back towards Mount Horeb. And we go back to Mount Horeb. And there God says, you know, he gives an illustration. You know, all this in verse, excuse me, I think it's, I wrote it down here, but I kind of get ahead of my notes sometimes. Yeah, I think it's verse 11 of 1 Kings 19. And you know, God lets him hear the law. He lets him hear the law. And we pick up in verse 12. And after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And all these, so Elijah's brought to where we can hear, we do the same thing. God brings us to where we can really hear the law. And we understand it. You know, the law was good. It was for what it was. It was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And what did the law teach me? It taught me that I needed a Savior. And when that has finished, the law has finished its work. That's what God intended it to do, to bring us to Christ. But now, as a Christian, we have to come to this revelation. We got to hear the law, and we got to understand it. God is not, the law is not relevant today. That's not how God's speaking to the born-again Christian. It's not by the works of the law. It's not by the Ten Commandments. It really isn't. We find that in Paul's gospel. But notice here in verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. And this is God speaking through divine grace, the voice of divine grace. And how do we experience this? I think it's like this. We have the word sown in our heart, and the Holy Spirit comes on witnessing of that word, speaking to our heart, the hearing ear. He begins to witness to the Scriptures. This is why it's so important that we learn the Scriptures, because this is how God speaks to us, is through His Word. He gives them revelations. And you say, every one of us, every Christian has had a revelation. Jesus is our Savior. And Paul tells it, in other words, it's the goodness of God to sinners is that they bring us to repentance. Needing it, telling us we need a Savior. That's God's still small voice telling us that. And so we've heard that. And now what God we've got to learn is God still speaks in that still small voice. Well, notice here in verse 13. And it was so that when Elijah heard it, what did he hear? That still small voice. God has now, when God has got our heart, our hearing ear to listen to what the Spirit's saying to the churches, He's got our attention. He says, now listen. And He hears it. He heard it. And when we do that, God has much to say to us. He really has a lot to say. We're going to find this out. God is not silent. It's how we approach Him. How do we want Him to speak? Do we want Him to speak in the fire and the wind and the rocks, all this noise and calamities and judgments and all that? No, God doesn't. Not now that He has us tuned to that small voice, still small voice. And so now what God come to him? Notice it was so that when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. And what is he doing here? This is important in Elijah's stance, because now evidently he's kind of carrying that. He's not really wrapped his face into it yet. Now he's claiming the ministry. He's back hearing the voice. He's going, he's accepting what God has called him to be, a minister, to preach the word, to be a prepare a people for his word, to, for the Lord. So he wraps his, he's accepting his ministry. He wraps his face in his mantle. He went out and stood at the entering end of the cave. That is where Mount Horeb. And behold, there came a voice unto him. What is that voice now? Still a small voice. Now he's speaking. Elijah hearing. And so what did God ask him? What are you doing here, Elijah? He's asking him here this. He asked him this before. In the preceding verses, we know. And, you know, as if... And now I think there's a different motive here. He wants Elijah to really think about what is going on now. You know, he's got God's attention. God's got his attention. Well, Elijah responds in verse 14. He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. You know, this is a repeat of verse 10, really. And the circumstances hasn't changed in Elijah's life, saints, by any means. This tells me that there's no circumstances change. Once we accept, hear that still small voice, there's not a dramatic change. God don't shout. You know, he doesn't show the lightning and the fire and all this, trumpets and all that. It's just still small voice. No change. But God does correct one thing he thinks of, because Elijah's got the wrong idea here about this. He thinks he's the only one left. You ever felt like that? I'm the only one. Yeah, I have. Probably we have. Sometimes we're out there, we're lonesome, and you know. But you know, God's preparing a people, and we think. You know, I used to look at it like this when I was a young Christian. I looked at myself as that great big tree. You know, God is just bringing me up something strong and mighty, and you know, I'm going to that big old tree. But since I've listened to his voice and the word and that still small voice, I found out I'm a part of that tree. Maybe just a little twig or maybe just a leaf, but that tree is bigger than I am, and it's God's people. It's the whole body of Christ. It's everyone. But we all have a part. We're individuals. We're a part. We're necessary. We're so necessary. And so now, let's just, we're going to go over some of the, what's laid ahead for Elijah at this time. And God has much to say. You know, God now has much to say to Elijah concerning some serious work. There's judgments. And these judgments that we're going to go through is typical of the judgments that are yet future for us today. They really are. It's God is setting forth a typical picture of the tribulation period here in these judgments. He's going to bring judgment. We think God's letting a lot of things go wrong in this world. Lord, we and you know, when we're young Christians, we can think of a lot of things God ought to do, how God would do it right, and all that. But God has a purpose and a plan, saints. And he knows what it is. He didn't seek my counsel or anybody's counsel. He has a plan already. And he wants to draw us into that purpose and plan. He wants to bring us into his plans and purpose. We're a people prepared for his name. And we're coming in the spirit and power of Elijah today. That spirit and power is the Holy Spirit, indwelling believers. Well, in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And so here, I think this is interesting. He says, all right, here's what I got you. He says, you go return back to Damascus. This is where you started. I think, you know, there's another brother that come in this same way. I think his name was Saul of Tarsus. And Saul gives us there in Galatians a little bit of his journey. He said he went out, he left Damascus, you know, led over the, in a basket over the wall, in fearing for his life. And I think he come to Mount Horeb just as well as we do in our appearance sometime. And God had to reveal to him the law. And he revealed to him this very important point, that the law was fulfilled in Christ. All the law was just a type and a shadow. But now we have the reality of what the law was just a figure of or a type. We have the reality in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And now God says, go back to Damascus and let's get it right this time. And Jesus, and Paul says that, he says he went back to Damascus. And I think this, and so now we too. So I'll go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, notice, and I'm just going to read these, because these events are typical of what is yet to be fulfilled in the future. Now, I don't think this is a typical picture. I don't think you and I are going to anoint these people. I don't think that at all. And I'm not teaching that. But this is something that's going to happen. And notice, but God is preparing us for this. And we'll get into that later. Verse 15, and the Lord said, go, return on thy way to Damascus, the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. Elisha, the son of Shaphat, the Abimelech. I'm close. Maybe. Hope so. Shaphat, the Abimelech, shall thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room. Yes, there's God has more. It ain't just Elijah now. God says you even got a replacement. Elisha. And you know, Elisha's going to notice. And then he goes on in verse 17, and it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And then he adds this very important point in verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 men in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him. And you know, this is the answer to back there in that verse where Elijah thought he was the only one left. And you know, we sometimes feel like that, but God says it's bigger than we are. We're just a little leaf in that tree. Very important leaf, that tree, but we're just that leaf. And he says, now here's the point about this. See, I think this in God's plan, it speaks of that faithful remnant of Israel. And God tells us in Romans that God has always had a faithful remnant. God has always had that faithful remnant in Israel, which have not bowed to Baal, which have followed him. And God hasn't forgotten them, saints. He never has forgotten them. He ain't forgotten them yet today. They're going to be in God's plan. They are part of God's plan. And God, and that same way with us. God don't forget us either. Don't think so. We may go through trials and we may go through hard adversity. But God never will forget us and leave us off somewhere. Never. And he didn't see 7,000. Now, of course, I think it's more than 7,000. This is a figurative number, I believe. And notice, and what did Elijah do? Verse 19. He departed thence. So Elijah departed thence. And then he comes on, and notice, he finds Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who is plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. This mantle is more than just a coat. It's a sign of his ministry. It's his ministry. And that's what he wrapped himself in. Now he throws that mantle upon Elijah. And it's interesting if we look at Elisha, because Elisha's God's prophet. He's going to come to the nation of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah. Same spirit that we have. Only now it's going to minister to the Israel. I like it here. Elijah's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And I think of that. He's working the soil out there. He's active in his ministry, what he has. You know, I think of this. You know, the Word of God is sown in our hearts. We read that last week. And God's looking for some hearts. And when you've got a seed bed, when you want to sow the Word of God, God wants that heart. That heart has to be plowed, so to speak. The ground has to be plowed. The seed bed has to be prepared. And Elijah was involved in preparing that seed bed in Israel. Elisha was, rather. And he's plying with 12 yoke of oxen. And the 12th, and Elijah passed by and cast his mantle on him. Verse 20, he left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. He said, and so, what Elijah is saying, let me go back and take care of mom and dad till they die, and then I'll follow you. I'm going to take care of those in my ministry that I got now. And he said unto him, that's Elijah, said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? So, and this is one thing. Elijah has to accept this calling. and it's now. It ain't when we think it's convenient. Some people think, well, oh yeah, I'm going to be a Christian when I get old and can't do nothing else. When that calling, when God speaks in that still small voice, don't ignore it, saints. When God wants you to take the mantle of salvation, when He wants us to take it, don't say, oh, I'll pick it up when I'm done with what I got to do. That's not going to work. And so Elijah said, what have I done to thee? He wants Elijah to say, think about this. Think about this. And think of it. You know, Elijah, he's going to carry on Elijah's ministry. Well, here's what Elijah did. He returned back from him, took the yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave them unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose. You know what he's done? He's burned his bridges behind. He's forsaken the past. This is now. This is more important than everything else. This is the ministry. He doesn't say, I'll pick it up later. Right then is the time. Now is the day of salvation, it says in the scripture. It's not when we choose or when we think it should come. Our ministry is when it's offered and God brings it to us, we have to accept it now. It's not time to think about it or wait till mom and dad. Wait till time's convenient. But notice, he arose. He's now fully committed to ministering, carrying that mantle in himself. Then he arose and went with after Elijah and ministered unto him. Go down to verse 9. Yeah, no, I got my... Oh, no. I'm going to jump a little bit because I'm not going to go through all this. If we'd go all these verses, let's just remember that I don't think I have the idea. I can't go and tell you every little detail and how that fits in today. I just can't do that. And I don't think we're really involved with that to that extent. So let's go to 2 Kings 2, 9 and 13. So now Elijah's come to the place where he's committed his and finished his ministry. And he's on his way. Now, you know, we know what's going to happen in 2 Kings 2. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee. So now their ministry, Elijah's been with Elijah all this time. And now Elijah just asked Elijah, what can he do for you before he be taken away? Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. And sometimes we ask hard things. You know, sometimes we think we're presumptuous maybe. But Elijah just said, it's a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. What's he saying to Elijah? Elisha, keep your eye on me. Follow me. Follow my ministry. Watch it. He speaks of close contact. And notice here, you got to stay real close and focused, he says. Well, it came to pass, verse 11, as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. He was translated. There's coming a time, we know that. That's what we're looking for today, when the spirit of Elijah, we're going to be translated. And we are. That's our hope. But there's going to be, we're not the completing of it. There's still more to follow. The spirit and the power of Elijah is still going to be here on earth. And it's going to be ministered by Elisha. And this is what we're looking for today. We're looking for that translated. Well, in verse 12, Elijah saw it. He was focused. And he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And we think of the chariot of Israel and the horsemen there. That speaks of all the power that man could have in Elijah's day. That was them chariots and horses. They were the power of them chariots. And he saw that in Elijah. And he saw him no more. He took hold on his own clothes, rent them in two pieces. They're not sufficient no more. But note what he replaced it with. Verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. And we know all the story. You know, God did give him a double portion, because we can go through that, and we're not going to the scripture. But you can count the miracles that Elijah did, and Elisha did too. What are we talking here? We're talking about the millennial age. When we are translated to heaven, God's still going to deal with his people Israel. And Elijah is going to take that message in the spirit and power of Elijah right onto Israel, continuing Elijah's ministry. It doesn't end when we're translated, saints. God's preparing. What it's all about is preparing a people for the Lord. That's what it's all about. Preparing you and I. Preparing a people for the Lord. Now, again, I'm not going to go through these events, and I really can't. I couldn't. I don't. God hasn't given me that knowledge. But they're typical of what is yet future to come. For God is still preparing a people for his name. And I think there is a process that you and I go through today to bring us to this. And I'd like to go through that a little bit. And let's go over to Luke 11 and from Scripture. And you know, one thing about prayer is this. We look at prayer today as just getting getting God to grant what we request. You know, I need maybe a pair of shoes or maybe a change of heart or anything else. But prayer also has a meaning, I think, even greater than that. And that's bringing us into God's purposes, drawing us into what God has for us, what God has planned. And sometimes that still small voice is all we hear. That's all we hear. And so we have to have that listening heart, that heart that hears what the Spirit says to the churches. He's speaking through his word. And that still small voice is the Holy Spirit taking it. And you know, there used to be a saying, I heard it from my earthly father. Oh, it just goes in one ear and out the other for you. You know? Well, so is the word of God does that to a lot of people. A lot of Christians, it goes in one ear and out the other. It never reaches. They don't listen to what comes down here. When God gives us a revelation, it comes into the hearing here. It's in the heart. Down here, you know where it's located. I don't have to explain that to you. We all experience that. And here is, there come this time in prayer that chapter 11, verse 1, It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and of course this is the Lord Jesus, he's praying in a certain place, and he ceased. And when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And we all know this. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And it's really, the Lord's Prayer we know is in John chapter 17. That's when Jesus actually prayed. But Jesus gives us the model prayer. This is something we can model, and we want this. And when we come to God and whatever our request is, and I love this. Verse 2, he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. And who are we addressing? Our Father. We know him as our Father. We have a father, son, and daughter relationship with our Father. He is our Father. That means he chastens us, he corrects us, he trains us up as a child. We're under his tutelage. He is God. He's hallowed. That means he's holy. He's not the man upstairs, or whatever some people call him that don't know any better. But he's hallowed be thy name. And I love this word here, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. What is his kingdom? Well, Jesus tells us in Luke 17:21. Jesus says, when we want to know the kingdom of God, he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. It's in God's people. It's not a geographical location. It's in right now. It's in us. And when we ask this, oh, we want his kingdom to come. But you know, when we do that, what's the first... What kingdom really has to be opened up to him first? In my heart. I want his kingdom to be fulfilled in my heart. He take up a residence. This is where God is working, is in me individually. It's not somebody else. Though it is, and it's God is preparing a people for his name. And I'm just maybe one little leaf of that tree. But we have to put that kingdom come. It begins with each individual, this kingdom. It's one person at a time. Then it says, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Again, that begins in my life. God, I want your will. And we don't always know that will. It's a process. We're going to have to listen to that still small voice. We're going to have to listen to the Word of God. We're going to have to know the Word of God. We're going to have to listen and have that ear to hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. It's vital. And so many of the churches today don't. They're still out there with Elijah there on Mount Horeb. Still listening to the showy stuff, the outward stuff. But God wants the deep recesses of our heart. But we want that will to be done. And then, here's another request. As in heaven, so in earth. Oh, my. Oh, my. And, you know, we may not utter these words all the time. We may. But this attitude's in our heart all the time. Oh, we're looking forward to that day. And it be in my heart. And I like this. As in heaven, so in earth. You know, in Revelation 21, we're going to find that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It will be done in heaven and earth. God's will be accomplished in heaven and earth. It's going to be a reality, saints. And God is doing that in your heart and mine even now. He's establishing his kingdom and his will in our hearts now. He's preparing us for that time. And then he goes on with that prayer in verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. And you know, I like this verse so much. And it's good to have this attitude. I mean, we may ask the Lord for specific needs of that specific day. But it comes with an attitude, Lord, you are the source of supply. And you know, I like this. In Hebrews 11:6, it says it like this, and you all know it by memory. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What does that tell me? It tells me that I have to feel that there's something in it for old Norm Lucan. God is going to reward us. God's going to bless us. He is a God of blessings. And that's what it tells me. You know, he's a rewarder. It's to my advantage to yield to him. It's my advantage to let him work his kingdom in my life. It's my advantage to let him bring his will into my life. No doubt about it, it is, saints. We can't have any doubts about that. It's to our advantage. Satan will come along and tell you how much you're going to lose. He fights the battles too. But listen, it's that spirit and power of Elijah, that still small voice that we've got to listen to. And God speaks through his word and witnessed by the Holy Spirit. I believe that with all my heart. And so we give, and you know, he sustains us. He sustains us. And we know lots of scriptures. David says, I've been young and now I'm old. But he never seen the Lord's seed forsaken or begging bread. I believe that. I'm an old man. I've been young. I've eaten pretty well. I had a big breakfast this morning. Not too much, just a little bit. But you see, that God does supply our needs. He's faithful. But he's working a kingdom. He's building that kingdom in us one at a time. We're all unit, and we're all one body. But we're individuals, and that kingdom is established. And I love this verse 4 too. It says, forgive us our sins. This is again an attitude. Oh, how much we need this. Forgive us our sins. Why? For we ought to underline it, also. I like Luke. Matthew doesn't give it like this. But that's a statement from old Norm Luke. And when I pray, I forgive everyone that owes me something. You see, that's one of the strongest weapons that we give. Paul says there in 2 Timothy 4, 6, 7, and 8, he fought a good fight. And I want to fight a good fight, saints. Don't you? Sure, it's a struggle, this Christian walk. There's no doubt about it. It's a battlefield, brother. Sometimes it's adversity. But God is He's working something that He could get in us, into our lives. He's working that kingdom in our whole life that we couldn't have it without adversity. God's will, He knows what He's doing. And that makes a statement that I forgive. And you know, I think that's one of the most powerful weapons that God gives us, new man. That's one of the most powerful weapons that we can have is forgiveness. There's others, just turn the cheek, go to second mom. Oh, there's a lot we learn. That still small voice verifies it too. But oh my. Forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And notice, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we come and we want to say, well, how is this relevant to what we're going to see coming down the road? Well, let's go to Revelation 8 and just see. And this is in the time of judgment. This is when the time that we're going to see fulfilled all that Elijah went out and him and Elisha, they anointed these kings and brought judgment. There's coming a time when God's going to judge the world. No doubt about that. And this tells us in Revelation about it. In verse 1 of Revelation 8:3, it says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, and these are seals of judgment that are about to be poured out at this time, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. That has to tell us, you know, that something is about to happen here on earth, and it's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy. There's silence. And that silence is going to come from God's people there in that time. You and I believe that sorely. We're going to be silent. But verse 2, I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. These are trumpet judgment trumpets that are coming forth. These seven angels each had a trumpet. Verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar. Another angel come. And notice what he carrying. Having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. You see, these are the prayers that you and I are uttering. See, we're here calling forth God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God hears them prayers. And he's filling up those censers with them prayers. They're not just going up into the sky and or up maybe ceiling. But they're God's taking them and they're filling up these censers. And God's going to answer it. I think God has... He's seeking us in his people, calling forth. There's a people down here on earth that are calling forth God's will on earth, wanting it, desiring it, hungering for it. And God began that back with listening to that still small voice. And notice in verse 3, I read it, and notice here, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was that gold speaks of deity. That's golden. It's from God. And there was given unto him much incense, much prayer, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar that was before the throne. And the smoke of that incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And notice what happened when them bowls were poured out. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire off the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. And I want to emphasize, yes, God's will be done on earth. But that judgment is necessary. That judgment has to come. And our prayers, God begins to, those of us today that are filled with the spirit and power of Elijah, are praying in that attitude. Even so, come quickly. And I'd like to go back and read one more verse here. I just seen it. I got another, just one more verse. Let's go. It's in Revelation 22. In view of all what we just talked about, the judgments. In Revelation 22, it says this in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. In view of all this, there is a people that's prepared to the Lord, saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Yes, we are. We want to see Christ's reign. We want to see righteousness rule over the face of the earth, and it will. But God's put that in our heart today, and he's building a people for his name to desire this. And you know, notice it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that is hearing say, come. If you just hear this, God's waiting for a response. He's waiting for a response. Come. And let him that is athirst come. So if you're thirsty, I love this verse here. If you're thirsty, you know it says, if they bless, Jesus says in his Beatitudes, he says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. If that hurst, that thirst is there, come. If you're thirsty, come. God has a need. He's looking for hearts. He's wanting a people prepared for his name. And it's there. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's there. The only one shut out of God's kingdom will be those who reject God's kingdom. Reject it. God is a choice. Man has. This is a kingdom that God is building. And it's up to us. Yes, there's a process. There's adversity. But oh man, God is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We'll never come away. And that does that for today.